The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Every morning is a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topics and asks what you think. So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, and sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM, The Answer.
Good morning, everybody. It is June 24th, 2022. Is today the day? Breathe deep. There is constitutionalism in the air. There is a feeling that the black-robed justices enjoy a majority that actually believes, and this is funny because you can tell because the left is in 14 conniption fits and 26 nervous breakdowns, to learn. So this all boils down. Roe v. Wade, the gun decision out of New York State yesterday. The left goes berserk when it learns that the Constitution actually means what it says. Their years, their decades of contortions and fabrications and fictions to try to shape the nation's founding document into something that fits their worldview. We're going to invent a right to terminate pregnancies. We're going to deny the right to keep and bear arms. And for decades, it has worked. And thank you for the 100th time, Donald J. Trump, for these constitutionalist justices who have made this possible and who may. A couple of hours from now, overturn Roe v. Wade. Now, let's not overinvest because it's a weird extra day of rulings today. There are 9 left in the term. There are some announcement days planned next week, so it could be next week. In fact, it probably is next week because I would think that you'd save the Dobbs case out of Mississippi and overturn Roe v. Wade the last thing you do so you can load up the truck and load up the moving van and move to Bora Bora if you're a judge that helped do this, because there's going to be a target on your back. And God help these justices. I'm talking full Secret Service protection for these people, because they will not be safe from leftist violence. So is there constitutionalism in the air today? Could it be today? Sure, we'll pay attention. We got a lot going on today. State Rep Jeff Leach will join us 1 hour from now. The Uvalde hearings and moving forward into further state legislative things. All kinds of stuff going on. But you know what's going on first and foremost. It's Friday.
Ah, I feel good. I feel good. Ow! I feel good.
You want me to say I feel good?
I feel good. I would not. So good. I got you. Wow.
Rusty Young, Timmy Schmidt, and the boys of Poco.
We've got all night. Let's take a turn. Tell me you'll see.
From the Legacy album, Little Call It Love.
Makes us feel better. Call it love.
All righty. Call it Friday, because it is.
You say you won't.
Call it hot, because it's going to be. 103, 104 today. Ay. Ay, 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 ay. What you gonna do?
Makes us feel better. Call it love.
All right, 866-660-5759. We got 2 big gun stories. One of them occurred toward the end of yesterday's show, in the burst of Supreme Court rulings, that said that New York State could not add all of these artificial additional hurdles to make you prove you really need to have a gun for self-protection. Court struck that down 6-3. That was good news for gun rights. The horrible, horrible news for gun rights, because here it comes. Here it comes with the complicity of 15 Republicans. The vote was 65-33 last night. The gun control bill passed. The sad irony is that there is stuff in here that's good. Additional attention to mental health, additional funding for school security. There's stuff in here that's workable. Some measure of additional scrutiny for gun buyers 18 to 20, as long as it doesn't abridge their Second Amendment rights. Some people are kind of hardcore on this, and I don't think they're wrong. The notion that liberty delayed is liberty denied. But if you're your 18th birthday, you say, hey, I want a gun. My first thought is good for you, young man or young lady. But might we want to take a look at those juvenile records, see what kind of shenanigans you've been up to while you were 15, 16, 17? Maybe. But the deal breaker, the absolute poison pill, of course, is red flag laws. This is gun confiscation without due process, and John Cornyn is okay with it. And Roy Blunt of Missouri is okay with it, and Richard Burr of North Carolina, and Shelley Moore Capito of West Virginia, and Bill Cassidy of Louisiana, and Susan Collins of Maine, and Joni Ernst of Iowa. There's nobody in here that's a real they're disappointments, but a real surprise. Joni Ernst of Iowa, Lindsey Graham, you know, he runs hot and cold. Mitch, Lisa Murkowski, no kidding. Rob Portman retiring. Mitt Romney, I wish he was retiring. Tom Tillis of North Carolina, Pat Toomey of Pennsylvania, I guess that's another surprise as well, and Todd Young of Indiana. Young and Murkowski do face voters this year, so see how that works out. And now it goes to the House, and Democrats are on the House, so it's going to pass the House. But what we're going to get here is an opportunity to step forward and be counted, to step forward and be counted. Obviously, there were 30-some Republicans who voted against this thing in the Senate. And as it goes to the House, the call needs to go forward. Because in the House, you guys and gals, you're running for re-election all the dang time. All the time. So every 2 years, as soon as you win, the next morning you pretty well start fundraisers for your next. And that keeps you close to the people. Well, we here among the people, and not everybody's monolithic. I know there are plenty of people out there going, yay, gun control bill. Okay, great. Call me. We'll talk about that. But among Republicans with a conservative voting base, we are taking names. We are watching you. And in the House, woe be unto those Republicans who get foggy right now on the Second Amendment. And on not just Second Amendment. The Fourth Amendment about searches and seizures. The Fifth Amendment about due process. All of those. There are three entire parts of the Bill of Rights that are savaged by red flag laws. And there are two kinds of people. Those who care about that and those who don't. And we sure are getting a masterclass in who does not. I have a brand new Newsweek column. Might share it a little later today. Because I have a couple other things to get to here at the outset. Of course, and your thoughts, 866-660-5759, 866-660-5759. Grab a line. My Newsweek column, essentially the title is that Senator Cornyn is dragging the GOP into a red flag nightmare. And it's all willful. Everybody knows what they're doing. And so, okay. So we'll see how this works out for everybody. Total pivot, head-snapping change of topic, and this happened like 20 minutes after the show yesterday, and this is something we've talked about a lot here on the show, is these stupid vapes, this Juul nonsense, J-U-U-L, ooh, all the vape shops, you can't walk 100 yards without tripping over a stupid vape shop. It is all the rage, and it's all the rage among the kids. This stuff is poison. There's a lot not known about its effects. It's stupid. Don't do it. It is epidemic among our children. And if you're an adult doing it, you look like an idiot. You look like a hipster moron. Now, is there a sliver of folks, and let me just take care of y'all right now, who vaped for a smidge of time and it helped you get off actual cigarettes? Yeah, good for y'all. A whole lot of that is a lie. A whole lot of it. Juul itself, I don't know if, well, was it Juul or somebody else? I think it was, because they're like the main purveyor of this poison. Some woman said, well, yeah, I tried to stop smoking and I just couldn't do it. But then Juul, I was able to dial down the nicotine, you know, and it really helped me get off cigarettes. Great. How long you been on Juul? 2 years. 2 years? You just traded one monkey on your back for another monkey on your back. Come on. Come on. So I could not have a lower opinion of the vape industry and all this nonsense. Right? Now, that said, the FDA bans it yesterday. What? Because a couple of things occur to me. Number one, adults should be able to do what they want. Number two, what an odd moment of priorities. So Joe Biden's, you know, FDA, Joe Biden's health protective instincts. You know, you better not. And a lot of this was about kids. So they want to protect kids from vapes, but you can chemically castrate your fourth grade son. They want to protect kids from Juul cartridges, but they're okay with surgically slicing the breasts off your teenage girl in high school. Pardon me, but it's true. What a strange moment of priority checks for these folks. What a strange, strange moment of priority checks. So as we take a look at what our priorities should be, let's get some focus. Lord, guide us and protect us as we face the challenges of each new day. We thank you every day for this blessed nation and your hand in creating it. Fill our hearts with the energy to protect the freedoms which come from you, which our nation was founded to protect. Let us navigate these troubling times with a positive spirit, treating others as we would want to be treated. Lord, these are times of trial and challenge. Let us lead us as we follow your word and lift us as we work for a better America where our Constitution is honored, where our schools are safe, where our elections are reliable, where our borders work, where we protect the unborn, where we fight for the meaning and the intent of the two genders you created, and where our differences are hashed out with honesty and goodwill, and our freedoms of speech and worship are protected. As we face each day's problems, give us the clarity to look around and cherish our many blessings in our nation, our great state of Texas, our communities, and our families. If we follow you, Lord, we know we can get through anything. And we ask these things in your holy name. Amen. All right, we're going to get through a Friday morning together. I'm going to take our first pause, come back out, start taking your calls. Let's get a burst of telephone action. 7:35, our Friday chat with our talk show buddy, Mike Gallagher. And just a fascinating day lies ahead. Another day in paradise. Woo-hoo! 866-660-5759, Mark Davis, 719. Some vintage Police. Sting and the Boys from Synchronicity and Walking in Your Footsteps. Let us walk onto the phone lines. See what's happening in the public's mind. 866-660-5759. We are in Mansfield. Dan, Mark Davis, welcome. How are you?
I'm very well, Mark. Love your music stuff.
Thank you.
Isn't this red flag law something that can be visited later in the Supreme Court, that maybe we could get all the good stuff and get rid of these red flag laws?
Anything's possible. Here's what it would take. And for the last couple of days, I've had a bunch of calls of like, you know, Mark, here you are saying they're all unconstitutional. It seems pretty cut and dried. So how does this even happen? Well, aren't we witnessing more than 50 years of an unconstitutional Roe v. Wade sitting there on the books, and it's taken us a half a century to get rid of this? Here's what it'll take for red flag laws to finally run afoul of the Constitution in court. A state that has them will have to be challenged because they have them, and then that needs to go all the way up through the pipeline to the court. That'll take years and years. I mean, it'll be worth it. Let's do it. And here's the tricky thing. a state that has them is probably going to be a pretty liberal state, right? Liberal states don't tend to have conservative attorneys general who would be the kind of people who would perhaps file the kind of suit to run it up to the court. I mean, there are people who have standing in those states, perhaps, but you're in a liberal state. So it has to kind of hop over an odd piece of barbed wire in whatever state that challenge would begin in order to start its path to the Supreme Court. But yes, is it possible? Sure it is. And looks like it's going to have to happen that way because here that monster comes. Here it comes down the pipeline. Thank you, John Cornyn. Thank you, Mitch McConnell. Thank you, Democrat Senate. Kevin McCarthy ain't going to vote for it. Steve Scalise isn't going to vote for it. I better not hear of anybody in the North Texas Republican delegation voting for it. So we'll see what happens in the House.
All right. Good talking to you, Mark. And just one last thing.
Yes.
Thank God for President Trump and his nominees.
Exactly. And I know we're being bombarded in these January 6th hearings. Listen, ain't nothing illegal coming out of that. Ain't nothing. There's no incitement to the riot. These hearings are nothing but a daily deep dive into his eccentricities and oddities. And that's not nothing. There are some people looking at this and going, maybe it's time for DeSantis. There's nothing he's going to be prosecuted for, just nothing, nothing, nothing. But even against all of that backdrop, all of it is a tiny pebble compared to the boulder of significance of the Supreme Court justices he gave us. Thank God for every day of his presidency. Dan, thank you. We're in Arlington. Mark Davis, welcome. How are you?
Good, Mark. How you doing?
Good, thank you.
Hey, question on the Juul. If the FDA can get rid of Juul, why can't they get rid of the cigarette company and put more people and more companies out of business?
Exactly. If you're on a roll, be on a roll.
If they could do that, I mean, come
exactly.
on.
And of course they could, but they never will. Because tobacco remains a big dog, even though smoking, the very notion of smoking now seems very 1960s and very counterculture. If I even see somebody blazing up a cigarette in front of a store, it's like, wow, did you step out of a time tunnel? It's weird. But there's still millions of people to do it. Still a huge industry. They will not ban cigarettes, but they can go after the vapes.
How can they go after Juul then? Because it's nicotine and not the cigarette.
So they can look like they're taking care of the children. It's always about the children, and so they can look like they're doing something. They can look like they care about health. Vaping does not have nearly the popularity. I mean, there are a lot of people doing it, a lot of morons out there doing it. But as far as a lobby, as far as Americans and what they think about it, even a lot of Americans who don't smoke, and most of us don't, you know, would not be in favor of banning cigarettes because we have a kind of a logic that says, hey, if you want to smoke, smoke. I don't care. That they're counting on this not extending to the vapes, but it just sets up a weirdness of what Joe Biden's FDA, what Joe Biden's White House, what his government will allow and what it won't. It's a strange priority. As I said, and pardon me for this vivid imagery around breakfast, but they don't want your 13-year-old boy vaping, but it's okay if you chemically castrate him. Thanks, Joe. Thank you, Mark. Appreciate it. It is 7:30. Let's get into the newsroom. Gordon Griffin out this week, and Nikki Whaley has been in doing a great job. And then Mike Gallagher and I will put our talk show brains together, and who knows what will happen. Mark Davis, 7:30. Here's Nikki. It is Klaus Meiner and Matthias Jabs on Das Scorpions, Mike. The Scorpions. We're getting you ready. We're getting you ready. Getting you ready for some German music today, Monday and Tuesday.
Deutschland, I'm trying to figure out, what's the German national anthem?
That is, you know?
Deutschland?
Deutschland über alles, or was that like Hitler stuff? Because obviously
I'm going to get in trouble.
No, being really proud of Germany now is cool because Germany's awesome. That's fantastic. Circa 1936, not so much.
Maybe not.
You know, because this is not your grandfather's Germany, but I don't
remember. Remember Madison Cawthorn got in trouble because he went and visited the Eagle's Nest, which is one of our options next week.
Well,
and that's all I need is take a selfie.
He got in trouble. I mean, listen.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. He loves Hitler. He loves Hitler.
No, stop it. He does not love Hitler.
No, I know. I'm saying that's what the lunatics on the left tried to say about it.
Okay, gotcha.
They mocked him because he went to and saw the Eagle's Nest, which I would love to see. Peg Hudson doesn't like heights, so that could be problematic because it's way up in the Alps, I guess, in the mountains. And a beautiful, but, you know, it was where it was his lair, you know, and Madison Cawthorn took a selfie, and it was even a respect. Well, when he was a candidate.
A respectful selfie?
Well, it was respectful because he said it's important to know the history of our world and the evil. I mean, he said the right things, but he went. And so to his haters, it was awful that he went to the Eagle's Nest. He loves Hitler. He's pro-Hitler. No,
okay, all right. Here, real quick, here you go. Das Deutschlandlied. Yeah, Deutschland über alles. There you go.
Is this it?
Yeah, it's a good anthem.
This makes me nervous. That's Nazism.
No,
Nazism.
I know. It makes me want
to. Don't pull the rope. You're going to get me in so much trouble,
it makes
Mark.
Me want
Stop
to
it.
Goose step. I mean, it just does. I just.
Not good.
Yeah.
Listen, right. I played Max Bialystock in a production of The Producers in South Carolina, yep. And you remember.
Well,
springtime for Hitler and Germany.
I know. It's
I mean,
Mel Brooks.
It was the most awkward, funny, satirical, but there were no sacred cows in that production. I thought they're going to shut us down. This is Greenville, South Carolina. This is not going to go well. And it was a big hit. It was a hard part. That's a hard role. All right. Well, here we go. What do you think? Give me. I've got your Newsweek column in front of me.
Yep.
Perfect. Oh, I'm going to use it today on the show at 10:05, coast to coast. I want everybody to hear Mark Davis's wisdom over John Cornyn marching us right off the cliff on gun rights. Although they're saying that the smart kids are now saying that the Supreme Court decision, thank God, yesterday, really overshadows and takes all the oomph out of what they're trying to do with this red flag garbage.
What does that mean?
In other words, well, it means that if you're keeping score on the sides of those of us who happen to like the Constitution, the Second Amendment, it's so devastating what the Supreme Court did. They're saying, this is in the Washington Post, the New York Times, everywhere else, that the victory from what Cornyn and the bipartisan gun control measures are doing, it falls way short now, and all the oxygen was sucked out of it. And the Supreme Court ruling is going to it's a setback. In other words, gun control advocates see yesterday as a setback, not as an advancement.
Well, that's okay. I get
you don't buy it.
No, well, no, not really for the following reason. It's not like what you're saying is wrong because it's not. But I'm not trying, in terms of keeping score, like a legal pad with a ledger of here's something that's good for the Constitution, here's something that's bad. I want it all to be good. I don't mean to be greedy, but I believe the Constitution should be obeyed all the time.
Correct.
If your point is that the Supreme Court ruling is far more good news than this potential gun bill is bad news, that's probably true. It's a general, it's a full-throated support of the Second Amendment saying that the Bill of Rights really means what it says, and that is a glorious, wonderful thing, and I hope it portends well for the Dobbs decision in Roe v. Wade.
Me too. I mean, where it really strikes hard for the left and the hardcore anti-constitutionalists is that this is not just going to be about New York, because now all the blue states that have these unconstitutional restrictions are going to have to play ball, and so it's all the blue states. So California's next. Illinois is next. Incidentally, hey, Lori Lightfoot, you're going to condemn the Supreme Court ruling yesterday with your city and the cesspool. Hey, lady, you might want to sit this one out.
Would you like? This will take about 30 seconds. I think Lori Lightfoot's in here, and Kathy Hochul of New York and Eric Adams. Would you like a real fast montage of how leftists' heads exploded when the Supreme Court ruled in favor of the Second Amendment?
Today, the Supreme Court is sending us backwards in our efforts to protect families and prevent gun violence. Shocking. Absolutely shocking.
That's New York Governor Kathy Hochul.
And I'm sorry this dark day has come.
Dark
this
day.
Decision shocking. Has made
here you go. Eric Adams, Mayor of New York.
Every single one of us less safe from gun violence.
Really?
And we cannot allow New York to become the Wild Wild West.
Ding, ding, ding. Wild West. That's what always happens. Concealed carry, Wild West. Constitutional carry, it's going to be the Wild West. Piles of dead bodies in the street. Here's Lori Lightfoot.
President.
Kamala first.
Many of us are deeply concerned and troubled by the Supreme Court's ruling today. It I believe, defies common sense and the Constitution.
The fact that the court is coming down with this decision feels tone deaf. And I worry that it undermines the legitimacy of the court.
Tone deaf. So here was...
Irony is lost on that
one. You got that right. And this is the funny thing. It is the height of constitutional illiteracy to believe that events or headlines or trends change the rule of law. There was that... Former Republican, his Anna Navarro, was on like The View or something, saying, "I can't believe that the Supreme Court was the notion of tone deafness, or they're blind to what's going on with gun violence. It's not their job to pick up the paper and decide how to rule. It's not their job to look at society and learn how to rule. It's their job to look at the Constitution and rule from that."
Geraldo last night argued. Mm. They were comparing New York and Florida. Geraldo's, he's got the vapors. He's breathing in a brown paper sack. And it hit me last night, and I've spent a lot of years in New York, so I know New Yorkers. Mm-hmm. New Yorkers simply don't get this. It's ingrained in them. Because don't forget, this ban on carrying a concealed weapon in New York is 111 years old.
Yep.
You haven't been able to do it for 111 years, and that's just been shredded by the Supreme Court.
Yep.
They don't get it. They grow up not understanding guns. They hate guns. Here's Geraldo's big argument. Well, the difference between New York and Florida is that Florida doesn't have subways.
What?
That's their big thing, is that they're panicked that everybody on the subway is going to have a gun. Well, guess what, dummy? Hey, dummy, if somebody had a gun on that subway when that monster a few months ago started shooting everybody out,
yes,
they would have stopped it. I mean, but they don't. They don't understand it. There's a fundamental disconnect. And I'm telling you, Mark, it's geographic. It's Northeast. It's New York, New Jersey. They have this fear and this lack of understanding, as you put it, this illiteracy over the right to keep and bear arms.
I mean, go with what you know. I mean, I can't. These are folks who have been gun hostile and But here's the thing for Geraldo and Ana Navarro and everybody else. Of course, there are differences in attitude, differences in landscape, differences in ideology, differences in lifestyle. But you know what New York and Florida have in common? The same Constitution.
The Constitution. We both have the same Constitution. All right, let's pivot for just a moment, because there's a story that to me really did knock my socks off.
Yeah.
You saw the note card that a photographer took. Of Biden holding the note card. Mark,
yes.
Mark, this is unbelievable. I mean, in fact, as a lot of commentators pointed out, you don't want to believe that's real.
Do you want to? Do you have it in front of you? Of course I do. Okay.
Of course I
it's
do.
It's Joe fact, Biden everybody's right. holding a card at a meeting about the federal state offshore wind implementation partnership. There's a joke there somewhere, but it's basically. And go ahead and take it. What Joe is holding a card.
I mean, you almost can't believe these Biden notes are real for this White House event. He held a note card. Here were the bullet points. You, with all caps, enter the Roosevelt Room and say hello to participants.
Yeah.
You take your, all in caps, your seat.
Yeah.
Press enters. You give brief comments. You, all caps, thank participants. You depart. It did everything like Hannity pointed out last night. It did everything but say you take a breath in and a breath out.
I know. You put your left foot in front of your right. You
Mark,
put your butt in the seat.
He doesn't know where he is.
Here's me being me. You ready? Of course, this looks like total senility, and it may
you
well,
think?
And it may well be.
It is.
But here, okay.
You take your seat?
I know. Every
Mark, if I've ever got to give you a note to say, Mark, you take your seat when you sit here and do the Mark and Mike experience.
Come get me. I know.
They're going to have to put you in a home.
But
they're going to have to put you in an institution.
Some other form, let's take a president that's under 112 years old. Anyone, Republican or Democrat, before an event, I guarantee you there's some point at which somebody says, okay, Mr. President, here's what you're going to do. You're going to go in. You're going to sit down. You're going to give brief comments. You're going to thank the president of this group or that group. You're going to, then when it's over, you will thank participants. Then you get up, you shake hands, you get out. It's always this orchestrated. And they always have a little, well, no, it's always this orchestrated. What it may not be is the orchestration may not be laid out on a little handy index card right in front of the president's face, for fear that he forgets.
I've been in this business 40-plus years. I've done hundreds, if not thousands, of events. I've been given instructions. I've been given note cards. Ain't nobody telling me, you say hello, everyone.
I know. Okay.
You greet your crowd. You sit down. You stand up and walk out. I'm telling you, 25th Amendment, anyone? This is insane.
Stop talking. Stop talking about 25th
Amendment. I know.
Because then we
got Kamala.
Yeah, thank
all right.
You.
All right. Now, final note here. Yes. How about, I watch the highlights reel from yesterday's low light, January 6th Select Committee hearing.
Yes.
I've got a never Trumper in my ear, a friend of mine who hates Trump, and of course, to them, it's so loud. I feel so sorry for them.
Yep.
The walls are closing.
We got him now.
We finally got him. Yep. This is the one we almost lost democracy, and of course, the narrative is pretty clear. I mean, it's emerging pretty simple. Even Axios points out Trump is convinced that the election was corrupt, and he wanted his administration and officials and that in community to find it.
To go after it as doggedly as he would. Exactly right. Uh-huh.
Right. So their takeaway is democracy was in peril because the coup wasn't. It was him. I mean, to this day, anybody hear him lately? He still says it was fixed. It was corrupt. It was wrong. Here's what poor Liz Cheney has been reduced to doing. Have you seen this?
She is now begging Democrats to cross over?
Her last desperate ploy to try to save her seat, she's begging Democrats. She's sending emails to Wyoming Democrats.
And they'll do it. I don't know if it spells victory.
There ain't
for
enough.
Her. I hope not. But it's not enough. Liz Cheney is between Liz Cheney, Mitt Romney, Adam Kinzinger. These are Democrats' favorite Republicans, and I bet some of them would love to have her.
But let's talk about the virtuous Liz Cheney. In February, she was asked by the New York Times if she would do this.
No.
Quote: "That is not something that I have contemplated, that I have organized, or that I will organize." So you're a liar.
Yep.
You're an absolute liar. You're desperate. You're pathetic. They're all pathetic. They're dragging this thing out past July 4th because they've got such new evidence. They got this girl, this young woman, who's claiming that she knows members of Congress that were asking for a pardon. Listen. They got an easy answer for that. They were so worried about the weaponized Justice Department that they were all going to get indicted.
I would have asked for one. I mean, I would have gone full Louis Gohmert and Mo Brooks on that because look what's happening to people who dare to be on the wrong side of this as seen by the establishment. They're coming after you with a full force of the government.
Mark, they broke in and ransacked the home of this assistant attorney general who was the centerpiece of yesterday's hearing. Nobody's paying attention to this. The media is not covering this very much.
Nope.
They made him go out in his pajamas in the middle of the street to embarrass him at 5 in the morning at the Justice Department. This is Merrick Garland's Justice Department. And they're not covering this. Like at least they covered the Roger Stone raid.
That's right.
This guy who was talked about, this Clark fellow, he was some Justice Department figure that Trump was looking at. Maybe you could do it. Maybe blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
Well, and guess what? Here's the moral of the story. None of it happened.
No.
Trump backed off.
Exactly.
Trump said, okay, thank you, advisors, for telling me I shouldn't do it, so I'm not going to go down this path. He didn't do it.
He didn't do it. So, I have to get greedy for the weekend. Can I do two things, 30 seconds each? Promise 30 seconds each?
You got it.
Do you want Alexa talking to you in the voice of your departed relatives? Have you heard about this?
No, I have heard about this. There's
AI technology where you can let Alexa hear just like old video or old phone messages from your departed granddad, and it can adopt, and it can say, I got to tell you, if Alexa ever talks to me, I'm going to drop kick that thing into the street.
Ugh. That's Ouija board stuff. That is devil stuff.
No, that is. If there's any genre of entertainment I've been out on for a couple of decades, it's reality shows. I don't care. It's boring people doing boring things. However, I may have found one. And it's Netflix, of all people, where they take a bunch of entitled Generation Z softies who do nothing but whine all day, and they drop them in the middle of the woods with marine drill instructors to teach them how tough life can be. It's called Snowflake Mountain. I'm in!
Not a play. Well, here's my pop culture weekend. Here's what I got planned. My big weekend is I get ready to pack for Germany next week. And by the way, what a nightmare. If the decision comes down today, I'm good. If it comes down next week, I'm in big trouble. I'm going to have to broadcast from Germany.
Sitting there in Lederhosen doing calls about state-by-state abortion laws.
We'll do our best. But Sunday, I got tickets to see the big Elvis movie. Have you heard about the Elvis movie?
Yeah, I've seen how many have there been? How many more do we need? But I got to tell you, this one with Tom Hanks as Colonel Tom Parker, right?
Exactly, and some kid playing Elvis who is apparently remarkable.
Mm-hmm.
She said Priscilla went and saw it, Elvis's widow, and said it is out of the park. The guy is brilliant who plays my husband. It's a brilliant movie.
Can't wait.
This thing got a 10-minute standing ovation at one of those film festivals, Sundance or wherever, earlier in the year.
Please tell us about it on Monday, because I spent a lot of time in Memphis and I'm steeped in some of that history and I know a lot of those characters.
Me too.
I cannot wait.
I can't wait. Right. Happy weekend, my friend.
Weekend.
All right, hang in there.
I will. Mike Gallagher with you today at 10 on 660 AM. The Answer. Duke Ellington and the Orchestra. Don't Get Around Much Anymore, from 1940. Written by Duke Ellington, and this is funny because he wrote the music. Can you kind of hear the words? You familiar with it? Miss the Saturday dance. Heard they crowded the floor. He wrote the words for this in 1942. But in 1940, when it hit the radio, it was a fine, fine instrumental. Duke Ellington takes us out of the 7 o'clock hour and into the 8. So do join us, Mark Davis, 660 AM. The Answer, much more to come on a Friday.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.